Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are in action tonight, hosting the Calgary Flames. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. All of your pregame coverage starting right here on 102.5, The Game, at 6 o'clock. D. Mays is here. D. Mays, I hear that you have a feud, and now this is your opportunity to use this platform to continue said feud.
Absolutely. My friend, former teammate, Zachary Zach Pillar, affectionately known as Zach. I heard him this morning, and Zach's great. I love Zach, man. I could sit. Zach's one of those guys that I can sit and just listen to, because anything he says seems interesting. Not to say it's not, but the way he tells it, he could be making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the way he tells it makes it interesting. You know, that's why I enjoy listening to Zach. But again, Zach says he retired a Raven, which Zach is factually, it's correct. But you got to tell the whole story. I don't think Zach retired a Titan. I'm not sure. I gotta check on that.
I know he peak smack talk whenever you're dishing something out.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't even do the same thing.
But exactly.
He's giving you know, all this slack.
I think he retired a Lion, which would be, because it's my hometown, which would be great. I think they got a statue somewhere, maybe in the basement of Zach. I mean, the basement of the Pontiac Silverdome.
I think it's not
up anymore, the Silverdome.
Oh,
no. Maybe they sold it. Maybe they gave it away in an auction.
I mean, if they did sell it, I hope that they sold it to Zach Pillar. So now Zach Pillar can bring that to the studio.
Yeah.
Along with the other goodies that he brings.
I think they may have tried to send it to him. I don't know if it got there or not.
Melt it down for scraps?
Probably melt it down, make a manhole cover or something for the city.
Send it over to the Ford dealership.
Exactly. I don't know. Maybe it's a part of a car now.
Maybe
you
it
never
is.
Know.
Motor City.
Exactly. Zach. Woo. But yeah, Zach, which he is factually correct, I did retire. But I tell the story over and over, and I'm going to keep on telling it. I wanted an opportunity to come back here to Nashville to finish out my last year. And the GM in question at the time didn't want me to, I guess. He didn't think I was a good enough player, even though my number stacked up against the receivers he had.
Uh-huh.
Again, I don't know if trying to figure out if Nate was there or not at the time, because I have mad respect for Nate. And what he was able to do in Pittsburgh, win a championship, and then come to the Titans and had some really good years. But, yeah, I wanted to come back. And it's not like I wanted, you know, DeAndre Hopkins money. I just wanted, hell, just a check just to come in and finish my career. That's all I wanted. And the GM didn't think I was good enough, hence why his ass is fired now. You know, he's not here. Not John Robinson, people. It wasn't John Robinson. It was way before John Robinson, okay? That's why his ass is fired now, and I don't know where he is because he made the wrong decision in not signing me back. So, with that being said, I called John Harbaugh at the time, was the head coach still in Baltimore, which he is now, one of the greatest coaches in the NFL at this current time. And the greatest GM, Ozzie Newsom, was there, and Ozzie and I had built a relationship, and they were like, okay. Open arms. See, that's what I'm saying. It's like your second family opened up their arms to you. It's like, come on. But your original family, they were like, make it the hell out of here. And I was like, I've spent 8 great years here. I was a part of a Super Bowl contending team, a part of a team that went to the Super Bowl. And I was a pivotal part of that. You know, I had 4 great seasons or 5 great seasons after that that hasn't been duplicated since. I just wanted to finish out my year. My family was back here and everything else. I just wanted to finish out my last year with the Tennessee Titans, and they said no. So you can't, you know, go keep begging. I tried. That's why I moved back to Nashville, because I love the city. I love the team that I played for. But I guess they didn't love me. You know, when you love somebody, they don't love you back, then.
Dang.
You got to go elsewhere.
Salt in the wound.
Salt in the wound. So, man. But I think Zach retired a Detroit Lion. I'm gonna go check.
Do you retire with a specific team?
You don't have to retire. There are a lot of guys that just retire. And
extended free agency.
Exactly. It's like you don't fill out any papers. Well, at least I didn't fill out any papers. I didn't sign a one-day contract. At least I don't believe I did. Things get a little fuzzy. But no.
You hear that, Rand Carthon?
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't signed
still
a one.
Free agent.
I'm so
still
you're
a free
telling agent, us Rand. That you're coming back?
I'm still a free agent. That's what I am. I never signed no papers or anything else. So,
do the cleats still fit?
Absolutely, the cleats still fit. I can still go. Now, give me a hitch route, a few hitch routes. I can run a comeback. Better than anybody in the NFL right now. I can run a comeback better than anybody. I can run a slant, a sluggo stop better than anybody in the NFL right now. I will put my money on anybody right now, and I can run a sluggo slant, a sluggo stop, and a comeback better than anybody in the league right now.
I would have seen it.
Anybody.
Next time we're at Titans practice, I want to see you putting the cleats on, strapping up the gloves, getting back on the horse.
Hey, I can do it.
See, D-Mace, what D-Mace does best.
I can do it. So, there you go. But, yeah,
take that, Zach Piller.
Yeah, Zach, take that. Zach's my guy, though. I love Zach.
Zach is the best. Happy to have him on the Jason Big Joe show every single week. All right, D-Mace, we have got a football. So, we will be out for the rest of the week with our families for Thanksgiving tomorrow and Friday. So, this is our last opportunity to chat before the Titans-Panthers game on Sunday. So, that's where I want to start, is Titans Panthers. Now, look, the Carolina Panthers are truly awful. They have won one game so far this season, and the Panthers are in a transitional period within their organization. Of course, they had the first overall pick, traded up with the Chicago Bears to select Bryce Young. Bryce Young hasn't looked very good because he hasn't really had a whole lot of great pieces around him. The Carolina Panthers right now are the worst team in the National Football League. But I don't even feel confident in the Titans beating the Carolina Panthers on Sunday.
Ooh, that's not good.
Do you?
Well, I think I said, and I'm not going to go back on this. The way the Titans have played all season, there's no more they should win games on their schedule because they haven't proven that they can consistently go out there and play good football. They haven't proven that they can consistently go out there and beat teams that are in the NFL, whether you are, 8-2 or 9-1 like the Philadelphia Eagles, or you're the Carolina Panthers that have only won, what, two games.
Yeah.
So they haven't given me, and I think more importantly, they haven't given a fan base, trust that they, this is a game that they should win. Mm-hmm. There's no should wins on your schedule anymore. As bad as you have played all season, and granted, you have three victories. I get that. But even in those victories, those games were close. All but one, I believe, that was the Cincinnati game.
And that was a different Cincinnati
team. Exactly. It was a different Cincinnati team. And we all know that team, the motor of that team is their quarterback.
Yeah.
And he wasn't healthy.
They will have no longer.
Exactly. And Joe Burrow is out for the season. So that was a different team. But it's hard for me to sit here and say that this is a game they should win. This is a game you can chalk up because as bad as the Carolina Panthers have looked at times, majority of the whole season, the Titans have as well.
Yeah.
So you're just talking about two bad teams playing one another to sort of solidify who's the worst team.
That was a game that I circled at the beginning of the season when we were doing our full season outlook, our projections, which games they're going to win, which games they're going to lose. That was one that I looked at, and I was like, you're going to beat the Panthers. That's a game you absolutely should win. But like you said, there's no should wins anymore. Because as bad as Carolina has looked, you're that bad too.
Yes.
This is a bad football team. These are two very bad football teams. Now, the one thing that I think can give me confidence in this team is the fact that this team has played significantly better at home. And this game will be in Nissan Stadium. If this game was in Carolina, I would say it truly is a toss-up.
Yeah.
The Titans have played better at home. So that gives me at least a little bit of a shred of hope that they can pull this win out. But also, D-Mace, I don't know how much this fan base really cares about wins and losses anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a scary position for this team to be in. And I could be completely wrong. And that's what the question is for callers, texters, and listeners is how much do you really care about the result at the end of this season? How much do you really care about the result on Sunday? If the Titans win by double digits, is it going to feel the same way that it did against the Bengals or against the Chargers earlier this season?
You just don't know. You look at the point spread, I think it's Titans minus 3.5. So that's basically you are a favorite because you're at home, and that's it. It has nothing to do with your roster or their roster. It's that you're at home, so we're going to give you, the points. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you the 3.5 because you're at home. And I know the players don't look at that. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have time to look at it. I can't tell you if I ever looked at a point spread when I was playing. I probably more than likely didn't because I couldn't concern myself with that. But if they were to look at this, you would have to, as the Titans, as a Titans roster or players, you would have to be embarrassed, that there are, in the Titans fans, you should look at this as, basically, this is a toss-up game.
Yeah.
And
against the worst team in the league.
Against the worst team in the league. So, the Titans, they're going to have to. I think this is, as much as I thought last week's game was a game, I think that game was for Jacksonville. Jacksonville wanted to prove, hey, listen, we are the better team, and they did it. I think this is a game for the Titans to at least give their fan base, the fan base here in Nashville, some hope, that we are a team that can win football games. Yes, our season hasn't gone the way we wanted it to, but when we are up against lesser teams, we are capable of winning those games. That's what this is for.
Yeah.
It's not for playoffs because they're not making the playoffs. Even if I believe every team in their division would have to lose every game. Every game, I think, for them to have an opportunity to go to the playoffs. And I don't think that's happening. Right. So this is a game for the Titans where, they have to go out there and give their fans something to cheer about. And it needs to start early.
Because if you lose this game, and we are never going to get anyone in trouble, or mad at anyone for anything that they haven't done yet or something that hasn't happened yet, but hypothetically speaking, if you don't beat the Panthers on Sunday, I don't know where there is any hope that you can win any of the rest of the games on your schedule. That 3-14 probably seems a little bit more likely than not, because the Panthers are the worst team in the league, and if you can't beat the worst team in the league, then maybe you are the worst team in the league. Now, they haven't lost to the Panthers yet.
Mm-hmm.
They have played better at home.
Yes.
But when it comes to the fan base's approach to this game, to this team, to the rest of this season, I think there's a really important two different things to distinguish of fans being frustrated about this season and maybe just cheering for a better draft pick. And I think that is okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a fine place. If you're a Titans fan and that's how you feel and you're saying, hey, let's just get through this season. Let's get a top five draft pick. Maybe you can package it into a couple of picks. Maybe you can find your left tackle of the future. Maybe you can get Marvin Harrison Jr. Then fine. And I have no problem with that, because that's where we are with this team. This team has looked so bad that now we can talk draft.
Yes.
But the other side of that is, does the fan base not really care about winning because they just don't really care about this team? And I heard Robbie and Joe talking about this earlier this season. Are the fans disappointed or are they apathetic? I think a disappointed fan base is an okay place to be in.
Oh, absolutely.
Because your fans still care.
Mm-hmm.
People still care. People care enough to be disappointed about the outcome every single Sunday or the outcome of this season. Apathy, on the other hand, I think is the most dangerous place that a franchise can be in with their fan base, as a fan base that simply just doesn't care.
I don't think, on one hand, I don't think they have gotten to that point. But I think this game and then subsequently the next home game will show whether there's apathy or whether there's just disappointment. Because right now we have a, bunch of callers, bunch of texters, they're just upset, disappointed about how the Titans have went about structuring this team in offseason.
And you should be disappointed.
And you should be disappointed and you should be upset. But I don't think they've reached that point of apathy. I just don't. I think it takes it doesn't take a if you've reached that point, then you never were a Titan fan anyway. Because to me, it takes more than a calendar year for you to reach that point. You can be disappointed, which I know a lot of Titan fans are. You can be damn disappointed in your team. But when you talk about that other word, that means, you know, a team like the Detroit Lions, before they start winning, I think their fan base, a portion of their fan base had apathy. You know,
Bears, maybe?
Bears, I think a portion of their fan base. The Washington Commanders, I think they're getting there.
Yeah.
Or if they're not there already.
Probably the Texans.
The Texans were there exactly before this season. So we got some years before you reach that word. But right now, in the midst of it, I think the fan base is disappointed. They have every right to be disappointed because your head coach said, trust us, we will get this right. They haven't gotten it right yet.
And why should I trust you to figure it out?
Exactly. So I don't think they've reached the apathy, but I think they are disappointed in where the Titans are headed or where the Titans are at this current moment.
Which is why I think this offseason, decisions that they make with Mike Vrabel, decisions that they make with the coaching staff, decisions that they make in terms of roster, personnel, free agency, draft, why this offseason is so paramount for not just this team, how they can do next season, but really for the state of the franchise. Because I'm with you. Based off of how many passionate fans we've heard from in the text line, on the phone lines, on Twitter, that this is a passionate fan base still that's disappointed, but still wants to see this team succeed, that still sees a light at the end of the tunnel. Look, we're bad right now, but we think that we can still get back to the point of being a Super Bowl contender. Not this year, maybe not next year, but they still have hope. Disappointment is still an okay emotion to have if you're Amy Adams Strunk or a fan of this organization. But this offseason is so important because you might be reaching a point of apathy with the fan base, where you go from a 7-game losing streak at the end of last season, a bad team this year. If fans don't see improvement within the roster, within the coaching staff for this team next year, I think you're going to approach apathy within a fan base, which I think is waving the red flag. That's the most dangerous position that a fan base can be in, that a franchise can be in, as a fan base that simply just doesn't care anymore. We're not there yet, but you're going to have to make some major changes to show this fan base that we're not going to fall back into that point where the fan base really has no other option but to be apathetic, but to not care about this team.
Yeah, and, you know, have they gotten there in previous years? Now, we're talking, you know, the end of the Fisher era, headed into the Wizard Hunt, and then obviously, you know, not necessarily not Mike Mularkey, but Mike Munchak. Those years, and it maybe what, I don't know, because I was playing half of it. There had to be like a 10-year period in there, probably a little bit less, let's say six, where this team just wasn't good. And Titans fans understood that. So if they didn't reach the point of apathy then, I don't expect them to reach it now, especially after coming off of, you know, three or four straight years of playoff appearances, you know, AFC championship game appearance. And then obviously I understand that it just fell off the cliff. But even in falling off the cliff, I think there are the majority of the Titans fans still show up at Nissan Stadium, still cheer on their team, still watch them play. They may watch them play and be throwing stuff around the house or getting mad, but they still watch their team play. So if you still have the fan base engaged, then that's a good thing. Even though they're upset, that's a good thing. I was told this a long time ago, that if you're in a relationship and that person doesn't get mad anymore with the things you're doing, you need to be worried. Yeah, you need to be worried. Yeah. If that person shows no emotion and it's just like whatever, that's when you know it's over. But if they still show that emotion and whatnot, then there's a sliver of a hope. Well, the Titan fan base, from what we have seen, there's still that emotion.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, but they need to get it right starting this offseason.
and losing to the Carolina Panthers on Sunday.
That wouldn't help.
It would not help potential apathy of this fan base or the growing frustration of this fan base. But I want to get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes is on the line with a thought on Mike Vrabel and an overall outlook on this Titans team. What's up, Wes?
Oh, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing
well.
Well, D-Mace, first off, before I ask you my main question, my first question is, with all the years of experience, like, have you ever seen an offensive line this bad, like, in general?
Honestly, I have. Let's just say this, because when you're playing, you really don't pay attention to other people's offensive line other than that day, and then you sort of move on. But I've never been a part of an offensive line that looks like what they're putting out there on the field this year. Never been a part of it, and I've never seen it. So to answer your question, no, I haven't.
Okay. Well, that was kind of a side question, but, you know, this is – I'm really, really confused, and I guess probably most of us are. But what is the big deal about this Carolina game? Because everybody's saying, man, we got to win, we got to win. Okay, if you win, you get a worst pick in the draft, and you can celebrate by saying, you know, you beat the number one, the worst team in the league. Like, I don't understand what the purpose of everybody saying we have to win this game or it could be Vrabel's job. Like, why is it this game? Why wasn't it last week whenever we were feeling this way?
Yeah, and thank you for your call. I think looking at it, I don't know if this is a game that I can say that you have to win this
one. It's optics.
It's all optics. Because if you lose to the worst team in the league, then you are the worst team
exactly.
in the league.
That's the difference between, even though I thought last game versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, you needed that win solely because you needed to stay in a position where you could make a run and could potentially win a division if Jacksonville falls off the map. Or if Houston, you know, that young team sort of hits that proverbial rookie wall in a sense. So if you win the Jacksonville game, it gives you hope that, okay, they would have been 4-6?
4-7.
Four and seven.
Or if they
won at Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, 4-6.
Four and six. So at 4-6, you still have hope. That's why, you know, it was looked at a little bit different. But this game, if you don't win it, basically what you just said, Caroline, now you become the worst team in the National Football League because you lost to the worst team.
Right.
The fans, even though they didn't like it, they can deal with the loss to Jacksonville, you know, because Jacksonville has shown they're a good team. Even though Titans fans believe, hey, listen, we should be able to – we've beaten them before. We can beat them again. It's different. But with Carolina, you're talking about the worst team in the league coming into your place. And if you lose it, this is not about, oh, we need to win because of, you know, playoff seeding or drafts. This has nothing to do with that. This has everything to do with the perception. Because if you lose this game, the perception nationally, it starts to change about your head coach. Even though the perception here is a little bit different than what it is on the outside, you lose the Carolina Panthers, now the perception outside of Nashville changes about your team and about your head coach.
And Titans fans might be feeling that way because I think a good portion of the Titans fan base has accepted the fact that, all right, we're just tanking for the draft. We just want a better pick in this year's draft. That's not the mindset within the locker room. That can't be the mindset within this locker room, with this coaching staff, with this entire team. The mindset should be, we're going to go out there and try and win every single game that we have on our schedule. We are going to try and win as many football games as possible. You know, I understand that fan priorities and team priorities are different, but that's why I think the perception is you have to win this game, is because this team really is just that bad. And I feel like we said week over week over week that, all right, we've reached a new low. We've reached a new bottom. Losing to Carolina, that's about as low as you can get. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your thoughts on this. How much do you really care as a Titans fan how many more games this team wins? And that's a genuine question. If you don't care at all, oh, great. If you do care, then great. We'll get into your thoughts on that. Plus, One reason why this team has been struggling so much, specifically this offense has been struggling so much, is because of the offensive line. And I've said, look, I'm not an offensive line evaluator. I'm not an offensive line coach. But we do have our very own offensive line guru who had his evaluation of this offensive line. Really, what is the problem with it? Is it coaching? Is it personnel? Is it both? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Teams that when defenses move, the offensive linemen don't move with them and stay in front of them. You can coach up offensive linemen that are not supremely talented but are willing to work hard. And I think these guys are willing to work hard. You can see them try. You can coach them up to have really good technique even if they're not really talented. And that will force the defense to at least defeat the guy in front of them instead of not having a guy in front of them at all. Or maybe a half a guy in front of them, and the gap is exposed. So I don't think they're getting the most out of the offensive line as they could.
That was ESPN college football analyst Trevor Maddich, and I have said I am no offensive line evaluator. I am no offensive line guru in the slightest, but I know a bad one when I see one. Mm-hmm. Well, Trevor Maddich is an offensive line guru, an offensive line enthusiast. He played offensive line in the NFL. His takeaway from watching the Titans really all season, but specifically on Sunday, is you don't have a lot of talent, but you're also not coached up very well. And that is a recipe for an absolute disaster, which is what that offensive line is, an absolute disaster.
Yeah, this was something that I started to see over and over again the last couple of weeks. And you know, this offensive line, and Trevor said it right, they, for whatever reason, they can't pick up stunts and twists. Mm-hmm. You know that that's going to happen, and you have a hard time at picking it up. Again, he's right. This offensive line isn't talented at all.
We knew that.
By the stretch of anybody's imagination, it's not good. But with proper technique, it can be managed. Well, that technique comes, the teaching of that technique comes from who? The coach.
The offensive line coach.
The offensive line coach. So if you're continuing to have, and this is not the first year, it was last year too. If you are continuing to have these problems, then we need to start looking at who's coaching them, because the old saying is either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. Mm-hmm. In this situation, it's happening over and over again. I know that Vrabel's just like, this is not what he wants, but ultimately it goes back to the offensive line coach. This is what you're teaching these guys. Mm-hmm. Simple things, pick up twist. You should know if you study the tape long enough, which I'm sure they have, and like Trevor said, these guys are they're giving effort. I'm not gonna sit here and say they're not giving the effort, because I believe they are.
They're
playing hard.
Yeah.
But they're just, from a technique standpoint, there are things you're supposed to be able to do, you know, regardless of how talented you are. Mm-hmm. If I work my proper technique, then at least I give myself an opportunity and a chance. But they're not even working the proper technique to pick up certain twists and stunts. That all falls on the offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. Just like a receiver, if you're not running the proper route, or you're doing things opposite of what you're supposed to be doing, ultimately it falls on the receiver coach, especially if you have talent. Mm-hmm. In this case, they don't have much talent on the offensive line. But say if you didn't have talent, like last year, did they fire the receiver coach last year?
No.
No, they didn't. They kept him, okay? Why? And there was not much talent there. And we saw it on the field. You know, the leading receiver had 500 yards. Hell, DeAndre Hopkins had 500 yards last week, you know. So the leading receiver at the end of the year had just over 500 yards. But they still retain. And believe me, I'm not asking for them to fire a receiver coach. But what I'm saying is this. They were, I guarantee you, from a what they know how to do and technique, they were there. they were being coached at in the receiver room. That's why I think Vrabel chose to retain the receiving coach, because he said, listen, we just got to improve the talent.
Yeah.
Once we improve the talent, guys are able to we'll be fine, because I believe what's being coached is there. You can't say that about the offensive line.
No.
One, they don't have talent, but they keep – you're messing up on the same things over and over and over. Like, you're missing twists and stunts every game. There's only so many ways a guy can twist and stunt, and y'all can't pick him up. Mm-hmm. A guy standing there – I can remember last game, there was one twist that was made by Jacksonville where the center was just – standing there with nobody to block. You should never be standing there with no one to block. You should be trying to help somebody out. And he wasn't. Aaron Brewer wasn't. So stuff like that is happening too many times. Some of it, yeah, the players. But ultimately, after that, you got to start blaming or pointing the finger at the guy that's coaching them.
And that is where my frustration has lied. And that's why when we bring up this conversation of should Mike Vrabel be the coach of this team next year? Is because of this coaching staff. Is because, I mean, first of all, it was not a very good evaluation of the talent on the offensive line to begin with, because you're paying Aaron Brewer $4 million, and Aaron Brewer can't snap the football and can't block. You bring in Andre Dillard, and
You don't have to say no more.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. You bring in Andre Dillard, period.
Exactly.
That was the mistake there. But they're just not getting anything out of them. They haven't gotten better. That's really been my point about this coaching staff, the team as a whole, but the offensive line, they haven't gotten better. And based off of Trevor Maddich's evaluation, the most important part of that offensive line actually has gotten worse. This was Trevor Maddich. Dee Mays, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders will kick off at 11 a.m. on the road against Sam Houston. Pregame beginning at 10 a.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Let's get into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris is on the line with a thought on the Titans. What's up, Chris?
It's your old friend, Caroline. I'm
Titans in truth. How are you, Chris?
I am good. Mr. D-Base, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
D-Base, I know you may have been saying this before, but I got to give you a golf clap. I'm proud of you, brother. You have finally come to the dark side with me and Caroline, and you realized yesterday what we've all been thinking, that Vrabel is just not fit for this team. And on the offensive line point, the apathy is huge, because I think Vrabel has gone through three of the five stages of grief. He's in denial about Andre Dillard because it looks like he's going to try to go back to him again, which would be a fireable offense. He's been bargaining to us, to the fans, and to all of you, saying, well, we're going to fix this offensive line. We're going to get better. It's not a big deal, when clearly it is. And it's like he's just accepted that this is what it is, and you're gonna keep trying to fix the problem when clearly there's no adaptation, there's no adjustment. And, I mean, isn't it always said that an offensive line needs time to grow cohesion and grow continuity together? But it will not work if you keep shuffling everybody all over the place. He moves Dylan Raiders from left to right, from guard to tackle. He's moving Duncan from right to left. You know, he moves Skoronski, instead of playing him at left tackle like he did in college, put him at left guard, something he hasn't done a lot of, and it messes up everything. And he so loves Brewer so much because he's tougher than a $2 steak, which doesn't amount to much. I mean, give Corey Levin a shot. I'm like, what does he have against Corey Levin? What does he have against Dillard Raiders? I mean, does Andre Dillard have something on Vrabel that he just seems to want to throw him back in? I don't
Chris,
get it, but
all good
I'm
points.
I'm sick of it.
You and me both, Chris. Appreciate your call. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris. Thanks for calling in. Look, and the switching up of the offensive linemen, I do understand that part of that is injury related.
He has no choice.
You have no choice that you kind of are forced into a situation where you're going to have to shuffle up the offensive line. But also, they put themselves in that position where they didn't adequately address the offensive line. And something has to change.
Yes, something does have to change. And you know, his denial, his, you know, acceptance and the way, you know, to call a phrase that tightened in truth, you know, it does make you wonder, you know, based upon, you know, Vrabel's answers, you know, to your question, Caroline, when you were able to ask him about the offensive line and subsequently questions after that about the offensive line. On one hand, yeah, there's not much he can do now. But that's your fault because you are the one that went and got this offensive line. This is your doing. This is your, you know, dish that you made. And now it's turned out that this dish is not good. So when people ask you, you know, why did you do this or why did you do that? Getting snarky and sort of standoffish or, you know, I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm doing. You don't know. That doesn't fly anymore.
No,
it doesn't.
We're past that point.
Yeah,
the
because
whole
people see it.
Yeah.
People see how bad this offensive line is. So, you know, Titan and Truth, you may just be right about this, where not that they have apathy with the team, they have apathy with this certain position, and that's the offensive line. So they don't want anything else Vrabel has to say about why he chose to do this or why he chose not to do what he did.
Because whatever he chose to do was wrong.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, your texts, and your Titans thoughts. But coming up next, we will chat with Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.